Last Sunday, we looked at Genesis 6, where we met Noah and the destruction of the flood. We learned that Noah trusted and obeyed in God in a wicked world, where we do the same as we have our hope in a resurrected Savior. This morning, we meet a wanderer who is promised a land and given a covenant where all people will be blessed. This person of Genesis encountered God in a unique way, but the people of Genesis are often just like us. I'm excited to invite you to join along as today we meet Abram. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to move in the Scriptures before we read. God of all wisdom, knowledge, and power, we thank you for your word passed down to us through the generations, faithfully leading your people. Be with our hearts today as we open the word and see your grace in the covenant with Abram. Amen. This morning we read from Genesis 11, 27, to 12, verse 9. Trust if you are using your cellular device, you can find it, or a Bible at home, you can find it in Genesis there. Abram's family. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, and father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The call of Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had acquired, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out, and continued toward the Negev. So far, the reading of the Lord's word. When I worked at Calgary Christian High School, a high school with just over 250 students, I heard a story of a student whose family was moving out of town. Let's call her Liz. Sitting with her friends in the common area, she expressed her worries about her new school that she was going to. "It's huge," Liz says. "There are over 3,000 people in high school itself. I don't know if I'm going to find any friends." Liz was going to grade 12. "Everyone will have their own friend groups, and I won't find anyone as cool and great as you guys. I don't think I can do it. It's going to be a really hard year." Her friends hugged her, said things would be okay, they would text, stay in touch. But her worries remained as the car plodded down the highway. Leaving what you know for what you do not know is hard. And today in our text, Abram was called by God to move, to leave his homeland, his hometown. In the first verse of Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." He hears this call from God and the covenant promise that comes after the call to leave. So on one hand, Abram has the life that is established in the land of Haran, or to uproot and go to a different place. Let's learn a little bit more about Abram. My first question really was, why is God making a covenant with him? Well, Abram is a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's sons, and again, a number of generations have gone by and people are starting to live shorter lives. No longer do we see 500 years, but more like 200s and 100 years. You can read the list of names in Genesis 11 just before our passage for today. So he's a descendant of Noah, but he's also an immigrant. His family has moved from Ur to Haran, and they settled there. He wasn't a native of that area. He was more nomadic. On top of this, he is really of little earthly importance. He is not of royal descent or of anything impressive, but he must have known about the one true God and heard the call. He heard the call. But now Abram has a crucial decision to make, whether to abandon his land in the favor of the land Yahweh offers, and with that, to abandon what family he has in favor for the family Yahweh offers. And yet again, he must decide whether to set aside his blessing from his father, his rightful inheritance, for the inheritance Yahweh describes. Indeed, God's promise offers much, but the cost is significant. What will happen to his land, to his family, to his own well-being? And we read to Abram's credit, he did make the choice to go. All in, and everything from that moment was smooth sailing, right? That's not how it went. That's not how it went at all. On top of the cost of Abram leaving his land, family, and inheritance, there are obstacles that he comes across on his journey. Doubts continually creep into his life. For Abram was promised a family, that he would be a great nation. But we read that his wife, Sarai, was unable to have children. How is this promise going to work? If we go one verse farther in chapter 12, verse 10, we read about a famine in the land that God promised to give Abram. Isn't this land supposed to support him? Well, it seems like it's not that great at all. And then, as they go to Egypt because of the famine, out of fear for his own life, Abram says that his wife Sarah is his sister. The doubts came in, and the cost was high in the call of Abram to leave the known and secure parts of his life. And aren't we too called by God, called to be set apart, a set apart people as Christians? But the upfront cost that we humans can see is high. The cost is high to separate yourself from the world, to make a stand for what we believe. And often we act in ways that doubt God is taking care of us. For we too have been called to leave many things behind for a different kind of life, a different kind of blessing. We know that in the New Testament, Jesus calls us to be servants in this world, to be someone that is following his example. But who really wants to be a servant? The world tells us to grab power, to take each opportunity to put your own self ahead. And really, as Christians, we have to face the ugliness of sin in our lives. Living in denial is ultimately unhealthy, but the easy path is to think, I'm a good person. I don't really need to change. But we all have ugly sin in our lives. We also need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone. God did not call us to be comfortable. And I'm hoping that this message and idea makes you slightly uncomfortable. For God told us to go out to those that are in need, those on the margins, those that need to know Jesus. This is not a comfortable place, for God will lead you on a journey that is uncomfortable. So as we commit to being a follower of Jesus Christ, it is crucial for us to remember we are on a journey with Christ at the center, and we need to die to ourselves, to the world, to sin, in order to have new life in us. Much like a seed, or a pine cone, or a tulip bulb, they need to die in order for new life to spring out of them. I've heard that in the midst of a forest fire, pine cones actually are able to open up and be more fertile and make more trees out of a destructive and changed situation. There is new life there. Just as Abram had to give up his worldly knowns and trust in God to fulfill the covenant promises, for him and for the benefit of the nations. But what God asks Abram to give up is going to be replaced. his land, family, and inheritance, renewed life is coming, just like that pine cone in a forest fire. In Genesis 12, the promise offered to Abram has an obvious association with the original blessing to all people in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:28 says this, God blessed them, which is Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This promise is similar to the covenant given to Abram, but they differ in the ability to fulfill the blessing successfully. Here for Abram, God does not just offer the blessing, be fruitful and multiply. He says that Abram will indeed be fruitful and multiply and become a great nation. And then God does not just give permission for him to eat food. He promises a land that will provide abundantly for them. God intends to be more than one who grants privileges. He is going to assure success and personally impart these blessings and these benefits to Abram and his family. God is going to do this. God offers a threefold blessing to Abram. One, that God will bless him, that Abram will be a great nation and his name will be great. Two, that he will be a blessing to those around him. And three, that he will be a channel of blessing to all nations. This third blessing is unique. Abram as a channel of God's blessing. This is the blessing that we today can still feel, a blessing to all nations. And the best part of this promise is that this blessing is not conditional on Abram's good work. This blessing will be fulfilled even if Abram sins. And it continues on to the people of Israel. But again, the blessing continues even when Abram falls. It is God's work through the generations. It is part of God's plan to reveal to all nations and peoples who he is. This is God's amazing work of grace. So when Abram responds to the covenant offer, he leaves a life behind as he embraces the promises of God. In doing so, he steps into the role given by God as a dispenser of grace. Dispensing grace. Yes. Abram's role was to reveal to other people who God is, the grace of God's salvation. In Revelation. So the whole story of the covenant made to Abram and his family, it goes in a full circle. Because Abram and his family become recipients of revelation and of grace. They understand God more and are able to live well. And they receive blessings. And then they are sent also as agents of God's revelation and grace in the world. Through them, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This grace given by God and received still by us today should be evident in our living as we live out lives of grace. For today, people of God, we are called to be dispensers of grace because we are recipients of God's grace. We are recipients of the blessing to Abram that all nations will be blessed. And how is that being fulfilled? What does that look like now? The blessing of all nations through Abram is really quite obvious to the church. God brought blessing to the world through Abram and his family by means of Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man who hung on the cross and then left a tomb empty on the third day. That is grace. But this is not the only blessing that came through Abram. The blessing of Jesus and eternal life is part of an assurance that we can know and be in relationship with our God and Father. Right now. We can do that right now. Here in our lives on earth, as we live our lives on earth for Christ, we can know Him. We can pray, we can praise, we can lament to Him. Through Jesus, we know the Father and have a model for living. Through Him, we become aware of what God's kingdom is like and how its citizens ought to conduct themselves. For we are kingdom citizens, as Christians, with the hope of the resurrection, where the final phase of God's plan is called the New Covenant. This covenant is written on the hearts of believers. It is how we receive the grace of Jesus that was won on the cross, that compels us to be dispensers of grace, to be a disciple. Yes, each of us is a disciple, and each called for a purpose in God's kingdom. In this, different people are asked to leave different things behind. Abram left his family, land, and inheritance. For us, it is key to understand that discipleship does not ask everyone to leave all they love or give all they have to the poor. Really, the important part of discipleship is our 100% willingness to leave anything we are asked to leave. It is a matter of the heart and a matter of grace given to us that we are willing to give up what we want for what Jesus wants to use our life for. We must learn to understand ourselves as recipients and dispensers of grace, for both sides are very important. And God promises to be with us, though there will still be trials along the way. Doubts will come, and we will need to lean into Jesus more and more, for grace is there, a free gift to those who believe, and it changes how we live. For some, it may be easy to go through life with great commission vigor, that we would win the world to the grace of God, but they never let grace change how they act. But our God is a God of grace. If we desire to be like Him, we need to go beyond being people that are saved by grace to a people who are characterized by grace. Then, by God's work and strength, we will make an impact on our world, and through God's grace, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God of Abram, It is you that we praise, for you have given us grace in abundance. Help us to move toward you and hear your call, for we are called for a purpose in the kingdom of God. Give us courage to move away from selfishness and comfort and into our role as grace dispensers. We pray that we will hear from you where we need to change, and help us to turn away from the things in our lives that hinder our walk with you. It is with great reverence that here today we can say we are loved and cared for by you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for the greatest gift you have given, Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection, that we may know you and be in relationship with you. Amen.